This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. This is a story from Albin Zabrocki, born in 1914 in Greenbush, who wrote a bunch of his memories to share with his grandkids so they'd know how things were in his growing up days. This is about threshing time, which involved a lot of people, including the women. Now, when you think of maybe 15 to 20 men coming to have the first meal in your house, women were supposed to feed all the people that worked. It was understood. Well, the men got together to get the threshing done, and the women oftentimes did the same thing. Lady A would help Lady B, Lady B would help Lady C. They would get together, and oftentimes you would have three family mothers working and getting the meal ready. Now here it is. Visualize this. A hot, dry summer day, and the men come in and they want to eat. So not only we, but most people had only one place to serve, and that would be in the kitchen. Kitchens were usually the largest room in the house. So occasionally you would put an extension on your kitchen table, but even that may not be enough. Oftentimes you would set up a temporary makeshift table out on the porch or even out on the ground. These ladies, in preparing a hot meal, most of the time started out with a soup. These men are sweating. They're hot. The kitchen is hot because it has been cooking food since early morning. But no one complained. They ate their meal and out they went. And of course, most of the time, the first thing they did was to sit down and smoke a pipe, have a cigarette or two, and wait for everyone to get their meal finished. Now we're all out of the kitchen, and the cigarettes are smoked up, and the horses have had enough time to eat their oats. That's about all the time they had. They didn't get to eat much hay. Now it's time to get out there again. Get out there and load up your wagons. And if you were good at it, you could haul much, much more than the guy that was slovenly and threw his bundles. Oftentimes, these people were scoffed upon because they were cheating on those of us who knew how to load a hay rack with bundles and bring in our share. When you started out, you always remembered who was the first guy in line. All right, Bob, you're following Jim, okay? Jim unloaded and Paul was right behind. He had to keep that schedule for the duration of the threshing at each particular farm. Now, one of the salvations of this ritual was the fact that you looked forward in the morning for 10 o'clock. The ladies would come out and have, most of you won't even know what this is, but a big pan with handles on it where they needed bread. And it was quite a large pan. This pan would be heaping full of sandwiches. Another container would have cookies, and sometimes, not often, but occasionally, they would bring out like apple pie. But this was the time to look forward to. And the coffee. That was absolutely the thing that you needed. We were very aware on these hot, dry days that it was imperative to drink a lot of liquids. Now, how in the world can you take water on a hot day like this, 90 degrees perhaps, out there in the morning? You want to drink around 10 or 11 o'clock. You can imagine how good it tasted. But then somebody came up with the idea that we could make our own thermos jugs. Now, thermos jugs, who knew what a thermos jug was at that time? But we did. One guy did this, and we soon all followed suit. He took a burlap and he wrapped his burlap around a glass jug, which originally had some apple juice or vinegar or something you bought in the store. Well, you never threw anything away in those days. So if you had one of those jugs, you wrapped several layers of burlap around it and went to your binder and stole some of the binder twine that was there and wrapped many layers of binder twine around this as tightly as you could wrap it. Then filled your jug with the cold water from the well. It truly worked. As I mentioned, the more burlap you wrapped around it and more water you soaked into the burlap, the better it worked. A lot of these guys would take these jugs and would hang them on the hame of the horse's harness. I never liked to do that because the hame of the harness is on the collar and the water would be dripping down on the horse's leg, and I didn't think that was very comfortable. I never put mine there. I had a piece of wire in the back of my rack, and I would leave my jug in the corner of the hay rack, and that is where it stayed all day long. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.